When all is ready, I throw this switch.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Collected Edition comic book podcast, where we discuss the famous and infamous runs and story arcs throughout the history of comics. I'm Paul Matthew Carr, and with me, as always, Brian Reese.
Hey, that's me. Hey, good to talk to you again, Paul.
Good to talk to you as well.
I feel like it's been a week since we've spoken.
Well, it's been exactly a week.
Oh, right. Okay.
So today on the program, we're going to be doing a quick, short episode to talk about a sad topic, and that is the recent death of comic book icon Dennis O'Neill. Denny O'Neill has passed away at the age of 81. He started writing for comics in the 1960s and continued working for Marvel and DC and other companies throughout the 90s, and eventually became an editor up until his retirement. His contributions to the comics are immense, and that is not an understatement. So Brian and I are just going to talk a little bit about his legacy and some of the best of his work. So Brian, first of all, what do you think of Dennis O'Neill?
So this is like hard, and by hard I don't mean I'm not gonna cry. I never met Dennis O'Neill. Denny O'Neill, he wasn't a friend. Mm-hmm. This is for me. Dennis O'Neill represents more than Stan Lee.
Really?
Like, we've talked about Stan Lee,
huh?
But Stan Lee, like when I was growing up as a kid reading comics, Stan Lee was just a figurehead, sort of at that point. And he was a person that we were like, oh, Stan Lee, it's Stan Lee is Marvel Comics, and you know, we still read his soapbox. And of course, his death was, you know, crushing and sad to any comic book fan. But Stan Lee did not have the effect on me reading comics at the time when I started reading comics in the same way that Dennis O'Neill did. And Denny O'Neill, he wrote the Batman comics that I started reading.
Yeah.
And then he edited the Batman comics that I continued reading. He was Batman. And as a 8, 9, 10, 12, however, whatever age, you know, you want to attach to it, he was the guiding force behind my favorite comic book character. And it was absolutely Batman during, well, most of my life, really. We could argue about the quality of Batman here and there or whatever, but at the end of the day, it's stinking Batman.
Yeah.
He was Batman.
I agree.
He was Batman.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, I was going to say that when I think of Batman, I think of Denny O'Neill's version of Batman. That's like,
yes,
the one for me. His run on Batman in the 70s with Neil Adams is one of the high watermarks of the character. I mean, he returned Batman to a more serious version. And I don't say gritty or dark because
or grim.
Yeah, it wasn't that at all.
It
wasn't goofy like the Silver Age or Batman 66. So he made it more mm-hmm. serious, but it wasn't dark. I mean, there were some dark storylines like in the Demon Saga and whatnot, but it just made the character serious. He took Batman seriously as a character and added all the cool stuff back. Like, he's a detective and, you know, he's brooding. He has this psychological brooding, but he's still kind of out there in the world, and he still, you know, is a mentor. It's like the perfect balance of Batman. It's Batman balanced.
Yeah. And you could blame, right. You
Batman balanced.
You could blame him in some ways for the, what we often humorously refer to as the grim and gritty.
Yeah.
Batman of now, certainly O'Neill fostered that. The Batman we know now came from O'Neill's mind and his creativity, both as a writer and then eventually as the editor He gave us the Joker that we know now. What was it? The Joker's five-way revenge, right?
I can't remember.
That was the early 70s. I don't remember the exact issue. But Joker's five-way revenge is the great story that took the Joker from this, well, pardon me, but a joke.
Yeah.
With the, you know, the flower button, you know, whatever, to the Joker that we know now.
Right. Yeah, he made Joker dangerous, you know, and
right.
And scary. And yeah, but you can't blame Dennis O'Neill for what other writers did.
No. Yeah. I think he did the right thing. And, you know, all of this was, he was so prescient.
Right. Oh, yeah.
He was so prescient. And he had, and you see this, even his work with Marvel and his other work. I mean, we could talk about like his other writing, you know, and he didn't just do Batman. He did so many other great things. His run on The Question was great.
I've never actually read his run on The Question. So you can talk more about that. That
might be a collected edition episode coming up.
Okay, that sounds good.
If we ever have the same days off again.
I've been looking for a reason, looking for an excuse to read that, so this might be it. And we might as well do it for the show.
Right.
Yeah.
But all of his writing was ahead of its time.
Yeah.
And as an editor, like his guidance as an editor, I mean, I think he was the editor on Batman through like 2000.
Well, yeah, and he actually did, and I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he did the entire Bat family, like anything Bat related. Mm-hmm. He was editing those as well. So there was a continuity and an interplay between all the different titles, which was his guiding hand.
And as an editor, he kept that ship so tight. Mm-hmm. And again, for people who care about continuity and people who care, I mean, he set the standard as to what an editor does. I mean, you have a few other editors out there that maybe could make a similar claim. But what he did as an editor is almost more important than his writing, which I don't want to. It's close.
No, but it's hand in hand. But you know what he did, what his writing did. I mean, he was so innovative and so I don't know what to say. He was just his storylines were so important in the way that they influenced other people, and they kind of ushered in a new style of writing. As far as Batman is concerned, you know, like you said, he revived that character, pulled him out of the. Don't get me wrong, I love the Batman 66 television show, but that's how Batman was perceived at the time.
Yes.
Like just this goofy kids thing, and he gave it a new life. He revived the character, and he gave him a direction that would last into, you know, now, basically.
Well, he created Ra's al Ghul.
Yes.
And Talia, right?
Yeah, exactly. But one of the other things he did, I mean, his Batman run, I guess that's what he's most well known for,
it's the reason we led with that.
Right.
And there's a lot of other things to talk about him, which we clearly are about to do. So
one of the other things that Denny O'Neill is known for, and it's kind of the thing that made his name, and that is, of course, Green Lantern, Green Arrow, and the storyline, Speedy on Heroin. That's not actually what it's called.
Does anybody remember? Well, of course. Well,
yeah, many people do.
Many people listening now will tell us the name of the actual. Yeah.
They are currently yelling at their podcatcher, saying, "What? How do you not know that?" But this is this is the story that kind of made his name, and it's considered one of the stories that eventually led to the downfall of the comics code. You know? Yeah, I mean, it's historic in the history of comics.
Right, and this is Speedy on Heroin.
Right. Yeah. That's the name of the collected edition, Speedy on Heroin, Volume 1.
and of course, it's one of the great comic book covers of all time. Now it's such an interesting story. It's so ham-fisted.
Oh, yeah. It's very much, I hate saying this term, it's very much of its time. But nothing like that was done. No one
would. Of course, nothing like that was done. And it was O'Neill that did it. And... Yeah. Is it overly emo, to use a more contemporary parlance?
Yeah, it's incredibly melodramatic, but that was needed. That's what got past the censors. That's what got it noticed.
But this is what was so great about O'Neill is like, even like we look back at that now and we're like, oh, it's, you know, heavy handed. It's kind of, you know, it's almost funny to read like here, like in our more cynical part, you know, stances on things. But, and this is the other like, part of what is great about this is that O'Neill had a social conscience. And we've talked about some of this before, like it was Stanley and some other people and how the creators were trying to bring in a social conscience into comics. The comic skaters seem to not understand this.
Or have a very short memory.
Or have a short memory. But O'Neill was always about a social conscience. You know, he was talking about real things and was approaching it certainly not from a necessarily conservative point of view, let's say. And did it always work? No, of course not. But did it work at the time? It was shocking at the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah, at the time, people were like, wow, this is like important. And, you know, we look back and laugh on it now.
Well, but I always talk about this, like that 70s, that early mid-70s period was a real transitional time.
Right. Steve Gerber was trying to...
Oh, yeah, you got Roy Thomas and you had Tony Isabella and just... There were so many people who were trying to put that social consciousness into, not just comics, but just in general, like media in general, this was happening.
Right.
But the transition part is, you know, we're still using language that they used in the 50s. And, you know, so they're having progressive ideas, but stating it in a way that sounds not progressive.
Yeah.
So that's why when we look back on it, we kind of cringe and go, ooh, that could have been stated differently. Well, it wasn't being stated at all. So the fact that they were talking about it was important and what was needed. Yes. And Danny O'Neill was right there. He was on the forefront of this.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, this continued throughout his career and throughout a lot of the other pieces that he worked on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, do you want to talk about the question?
Yeah, we should save the question. I want to save the if we're going to talk about this... If we're going to read the question, I don't want to talk about it now.
Okay.
I mean, because the question is very interesting and the question has a weird history and that history alternates between who writes it and who isn't writing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, you know, it's Steve Ditko or Danny O'Neill. So, yeah.
Yeah.
There's kind of two different sentimentalities there.
Yes. I don't want to talk about the question. Because I want to talk about the question later.
Okay, that's perfectly fine. But some of the other things he
but,
did like.
But with the what I will say about the question, if you're going to keep this in, is I do want to say that what the question does show, and this is about Danny O'Neill and not necessarily about the writing of this or whatever, it shows his brilliance in terms of matching the text with the artist. And that is a thing that an editor and a good writer does. So Dennis Cowan did most of the art on Dennis O'Neill's question. So we'll talk about that. And what we'll talk about is Dennis Cowan was the perfect artist and matched perfectly. And this is what O'Neill did, both as a writer and as an editor. He was able to match some of the best writers with the best artists who complemented. Right. You know, he had the Jim Aparo run on Batman. You know, I mean, we have to mention real quick before I, you know, this may be apocryphal. It may not be apocryphal. There's a lot of evidence. But we also have to mention that Dennis O'Neill gave us Optimus Prime.
Yes. That's actually in my bullet points to mention. One of the coolest character names in history, Optimus Prime. He did so many things. You know, his run on Superman, he tried to, you know, power down Superman because he was kind of getting crazy.
He did the same with Wonder Woman previously, too.
But, you know, and things like he introduced Ironmonger into Iron Man. Just so many things that we think of as just, you know, this is just how comics has always been. No, he's the one who's putting these ideas and these characters in there.
And I also want to, since we're mentioning some random things, we also have to acknowledge that he co-wrote with Neil Adams, Superman versus Muhammad Ali.
An absolute classic. Okay, so full disclosure, everyone, what you're hearing is now 24 hours into the future. We had a bit of a power outage during the recording, so there's going to be a gap in time. Do we sound older? But actually, Brian, I think we were about ready to wrap up anyway, so let's maybe just say a few words in closing. How would you surmise your thoughts on Denny O'Neill?
Well, I just want to say that in case this wasn't caught, we need to recognize Superman versus Muhammad Ali. I think we mentioned that, and then I went on to expound with great wisdom the importance of said comic. We don't need to revisit that in case it wasn't saved, but I just want to acknowledge that Denny O'Neill was the writer of Superman versus Muhammad Ali, maybe the greatest comic book that was ever written. So, again.
It did pack a lot of punch, that comic.
It did, yes. Yeah. You know, I mean, it was, I don't know if it was a complete knockout, but, that's all I got.
Well, you know, Denny O'Neill, one of the most innovative, important writers in the medium of comics.
Absolutely. And also editors. I think, again, something we touched on. It's hard to wrap up specifically and not reference things we might have already said. But to reiterate, I think what I started off with, I think his importance, you know, I've talked about Grant Morrison and how Grant Morrison is one of my favorite writers, but I think Denny O'Neill is way up there, right next to Grant Morrison, in terms of just how influential he was on me as a kid, reading comics, on how I think about comics, on how I think about good editing. He was a giant. I mean, there's no way around it. I mean, we talk a lot about who is a giant, and, you know, it's in the same way that the word hero is overused. You know, you talk about influential is also a phrase that's overused, but Denny O'Neill owns that.
Well, and, yeah, he lives up to that moniker. Yeah, he was one of the architects of how this industry progressed and developed and matured. A lot of how we read comics now is because of the things that Denny O'Neill pioneered.
And I refuse to blame him for the grim and gritty. Did he influence it? Yes. But is it his fault?
Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah. Just because he was serious doesn't mean it had to get dark, you know?
Right. And anyway. I think, you know, granted, he hadn't worked in any serious way in the industry for a while. I mean, he did participate, I believe, in the grant in the Batman RIP. Mm-hmm. Thing that happened, which was nice. It was a nice throw to him, I think. But, you know, I mean, he lived a full life by all accounts. He was not young. He died of natural causes at, how old was he, 80?
He was 81.
81.
Yeah.
There's never a good age to pass, but, you know, it's...
No. No, he had a good run, for sure.
His passing isn't tragic, but it is certainly for those of us so influenced by him and so appreciative of his work that his passing is still, you know, it's a bit of sadness. Again, not as someone I've ever met, but just as an influence in my life, whether he knew it or not, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely. He was important to the world of comics. He had a lot to say, and his voice will be missed.
Yes, very much so.
Okay. Well, I think that's it. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you have any thoughts on the great Denny O'Neill, please feel free to share them on the website, collectededition.com, where you can leave a comment on this individual episode, or tweet at us on the Twitter, at collectededpod, that's collectededpod. And we'd love to hear what you have to say, just in general. But tell us what your thoughts are on Denny O'Neill and what you're, you know, maybe even share some of your favorite covers or artwork or panels, you know, that he's that he was involved in.
Favorite arcs.
Favorite arcs and things like that. Yeah. Oh, so that'd be a lot of fun. So I guess anything else to say, Brian?
Black Lives Matter.
That is true. So until next time, everybody, keep reading comics. Specifically, go read some Denny O'Neill Batman, because that was really good stuff. So keep reading comics, everybody.
And be well.
You've been listening to The Collected Edition, a comic book podcast. The Collected Edition is a Daddy Elk production. All materials used on the show are copyright their respective copyright holders, and no infringement is intended. The show can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, as well as online at collectededitionpodcast.com, where comments can be left on individual episodes. You can also send us feedback at comments@collectededitionpodcast.com or on Twitter at collectededpod, that's collected, E-D-P-O-D. The Collected Edition, a comic book podcast, is for entertainment purposes only.
Are you not entertained?